It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hello there. Welcome to the program. I've had more fun with that opening line of not just a radio personality. That drives Kevin Gettings crazy at Rod, WROD 1340.
DaytonaOldies.com.
It is. It's a great station. And Kevin's a great guy. But Kevin, you'll always be much more than just a radio personality in my book. Close to my heart, buddy. All right. Well, speaking of things close to my heart, I've got a couple quick announcements here before we get started. First, about Scott. Scott, I got a nice email that I wanted to share. Of course, best way to praise people is to do it with an audience, right? So one of my clients, longtime client, Per and Joan Saberstrom, they sent me an email saying, Scott Connor does a nice job both on the radio and also with our newsletter. So,
well, that's very kind.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And if you're not getting our intellectual briefing handwritten by Scott Connor
every Monday,
then you are missing out. All right. So that's one quick piece. Now, that's about Scott. Now a little bit about David. Okay. Well, let me set it up this way. 17,900 people, 50 and older, of course, some younger ones too, are watching Real Money with David Holland.
Terrific.
We just got our ratings from WESH. So what do 17,900 people know that you don't know if you're not watching the show? Well, you'll have to tune in and find out. That is Mondays at 12:30, right after the noon news on Channel 2.
That makes WESH. You a television personality.
So we're going to have to change that.
Yeah.
And then somebody will have to call me from the TV world and say, hey, I don't like that you say you're just a TV person. Anyway, so there's a couple of quick updates. And the next show is on, of course, Monday coming up. And you need to set your DVR or your TiVo or whatever if you aren't around to watch it. And the next show is on how to get great advice. Now, speaking of great advice or great financial information.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
All yours.
Well, Tuesday's market gave back some of Monday's gains, I'm afraid, but not too much. And as of the close Tuesday, we're still up for the week. The Dow down 43 points, NASDAQ down 2, S&P down 4. Those are mostly, I would call, flat-ish. Oil very flat, gold down 5 at 1680, and tens at 218.
Not a little bit of risk off. Is that what that is?
A little bit of risk off in tens. So happy to see that. Not a whole lot going on in Tuesday's market. I think the reason that we were a little bit negative on Tuesday, remember Monday we were positive because Chairman Bernanke came out and he said, hey, don't tell anybody, but we might do more quantitative easing. Well, on Tuesday, St. Louis Fed Reserve President James Bullard came out and he said, I don't think we really need it. It's not going to get my vote. So that kind of cooled expectations a little bit. Bank of America was down a little bit on Tuesday's market. It's been very volatile, but they had some analysts cut their price targets for the bank stock there.
What do you think's weighing on them? well, there's more than one thing.
I mean, they've had a string of just disastrous mergers and acquisitions. They, for a while, they were buying everything, regardless of what it costs. If it's for sale, we're buying it. And they still have a ton of houses that they're trying to foreclose on so bad that they actually initiated this landlord program that I don't see how they're possibly going to implement.
Sounds just like me and my wife playing Monopoly. Buying up everything. And
yeah, as soon as you land on it, buy it. That's what they did for a while. Now, the new guy, Moynihan, that's at the helm there is much more conservative. But, boy, they dug a hole that's pretty deep. Amazon.com announced that the Harry Potter series is now on Kindle, hoping to get a boost out of that. Kindle has not met up to expectations versus iPad.
Why do you think that is?
Because iPad is awesome.
Yeah. Well, in a Kindle, it's user-friendly-ish. I've done both. Well, I don't know. It's just not as easy as the iPad.
Yeah, and we also had a couple of, let's call them lukewarm economic or mixed economic reports. We had a consumer confidence number that came out for March, so it's a very, very fresh number. We had pretty high expectations. We were looking for 70.3. We got 70.2.
What's that for?
Consumer confidence.
Now, what is that?
That's from that one's from the Conference Board. The Friday number is the University of Michigan. It's a bunch of indexes that they put together. Things like, how's the job situation? How's your current situation? How's the future situation? What do you think about inflation? And they kind of lump all those things together. And still positive, but not as positive as economists had hoped.
See, I was seeing if you'd bite and call it a diffusion index.
Not me. I don't even know what that is. And then an important housing number came out Tuesday morning, the Case-Shiller Price Index.
This is your favorite one.
This is for house price information. I think this is the best one. Seasonally adjusted came out dead flat.
Hey, it could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse. And I think all this housing information we've been getting over the last 10 days or so is really showing us that we're at a bottom. That doesn't mean we're going to just rebound all of a sudden, but I think that just the slow death is sort of behind us.
Well, what do you think? Yeah, because I was reading a report earlier about there was another, and you know, of course, there's always something out there. There's, you know, that's the other thing to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, is there's always a report out on something that's going to say the exact opposite of what Scott says, which, yeah. So of course they're wrong, but they were talking about 2012 is going to be the worst year, or 2013 is going to be even worse. And prices are going to go down even further.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all just talk.
Yeah.
These are people's opinions, right?
Yeah, especially if you're projecting into the future. I mean, we don't project into the future. There's an old saying that says, those who have knowledge don't predict, and those who predict don't have knowledge. We look at the data, and we try to assimilate it and assess it and analyze it as well as
possible.
But you
can assess the risk, and then you can say, okay, hey, look, we need to be a little more cautious right now because, hey, a 10 or 20% drop is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, hold. I know you've got another couple pages
more,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. Let's take a short break. Let's stay on track because Lisa will start getting nervous, and we'll come right back. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Uh-oh, was my microphone on? Uh-oh, I don't want to be like these politicians getting caught with the microphone on. You know, I have a report on that, which I'll get to in a minute, Scott, but go ahead. A
couple other news headlines from Tuesday's market. Lennar, remember I told you last week KB Homes announced earnings and they were dismal? KB Homes is a little bit of a higher-end builder. They do more custom-type building. Lennar announced earnings on Tuesday. They were more heavily watched than usual because of that KB Homes number, and they actually came out pretty good. So, well, let's say they offset the KB Homes numbers. Lennar's a big home builder, starting to actually see some resurgence in the price of home builders stock coming back pretty well.
Well, you started, or it sounded like you were going to make a distinction. So let me dig a little bit there. KB is a little bit more of a custom builder.
Yep.
So does that mean that Lennar is not? That they're a little more of a kind of here it is, take it?
Yeah, entry level.
So it's a lower priced home. Okay.
And I think there's a bigger market for their homes,
and
too.
Custom is going to be a higher end home. And, you know, so what you're looking for is the broader impact.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So that's,
I'm with you.
But we were happy to see that because we didn't want to see a negative number there as well. In Apple news, we always have to give the Apple news. Actually, this is kind of interesting news. Apple CEO Tim Cook is in China. He's going to spend a fair amount of time in China, and he has some real issues he has to take care of. He's got to work on some of their labor problems that they've had. There's a big, huge problem with trademarks that he has to get worked out because technically they're not allowed to use the name iPad in China right now, which is kind of a problem for them.
So is it all just all about money? I mean, is that all it boils down to?
Yeah, I mean, he's the CEO.
Somebody's wanting a bite of the apple, no pun intended.
Yeah, no doubt.
Of every iPad sold in China. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, and so it's a little bit hard to tell exactly how enforceable some of those trademark laws are, so we'll keep an eye on that. Also, there are only 5 Apple stores in China, so I'm sure he's on the way to trying to expand that.
Well, before you leave Apple, you know, it's interesting. I had actually saved this to talk with you about, and I labeled it. I wrote across the top. It's from the Wall Street Journal, but I wrote across the top, Scott said it. So the Wall Street Journal has been listening to the show for their some of the articles they're writing.
Excellent.
Yeah, they're returning the favor because we use some of their stuff. Now they're using some of ours. I'm kidding, of course. But as the hunger for Apple grows, pros say to keep track of portion size. So no biggie size on the Apple. You can biggie size your McDonald's. A Big Mac comes in one size, but you can biggie size the fry and the drink, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they went out and they talked to a bunch of advisors, okay? And so some of them said, look, you got to be careful that you don't get too much in one stock. Hey, we've said that, right, Lisa? Lisa's like, yeah, we say that all the time. You got to know what's in there, because the other thing that goes on is that people have, they'll own the stock individually, but they'll also own it in their mutual funds, which is something we find out by doing an analysis of people's investment portfolios. And then something else, let's see. This another thing you talked about, Scott, on a previous show is that if you don't want to go all on just Apple, you can what we call that partner trade.
Yeah, the pair trade.
Pair trade, okay. So an apple and a pear?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I got it. All right, so it's a fruity kind of thing. It's a fruit salad, but you put them together and you don't have all your eggs in one basket, or all your fruit in one basket. And then what else did they have? Another option. Oh, this is interesting because of how heavy Apple is as part of the NASDAQ, that you can do an ETF or you can do an index by the NASDAQ as one investment where you get all the stocks. How many are in there? Is it 100?
No, it's more than that. I think it's closer to 500, but Apple makes up something like 13% of it.
Well, I was reading it here. Let me see. It was like 25%.
Yeah, with the move it's had lately, that wouldn't surprise me.
So anyway, but the point, it was right on with what you talked about with Apple, and it sounds great. The last guy they interviewed in the article said, look, I don't care who it is, eventually they're going to come back down.
I totally agree.
You know, so you just can't let it ride.
Yeah.
You know, you ever been to Vegas, you ever played roulette, and you hit the number a couple of times? You hit it a couple of times. What is it? It's like 35-1, right? On hitting one number. That's the payout. So you hit it once, $100, what, $3,500. You hit it again. Now you're talking about a lot of money. You better take some off the table.
Yep, for sure. Two more quick ones. Big day on Wednesday for MF Global. Their top lawyer is speaking in front of Congress. Also, their CFO is reappearing in front of Congress. And there is a growing mountain of evidence, from what I'm able to gather, that they knew exactly what they were doing when they moved customer money to corporate accounts.
Yeah, I mean, these are sharp people.
Yeah, so we'll see how that turns out. And then this one I picked just for you, David. It's a very, very busy week for IPOs this week. But I think the one that is most closely followed is Annie's Organic Foods. You're familiar with them? They have a little bunny logo?
No, I'll have to look into them.
We buy mac and cheese at our house for the kids. Only Annie's Organic, you know, because there's so much stuff in there.
That's good to know.
Yep, so it's Organic Foods, priced between $16 and $18 a share. It's going to be probably the big IPO of the week, and the symbol is BNNY because their logo is a little bunny.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, that's pretty cool. I like that. When I got married, we went, didn't go right away, but we ended up going overseas to Ireland, and we did the bed and breakfasts around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we would stay in a bed and breakfast for 2 nights and move along. One of them was called, the guy that owned the property had like, I think 4 daughters. Anyway, and the first one, her name was Bonnie, then Connie, and then Lynn. Anyway, it was like 3 or 4 of them. And the name of the place was called Bunny Connellan. So you just reminded me of that with your bunny stock.
That's why I picked it, just for you.
And so is it going to keep on going and going? Are you going to do some sort of merger with Energizer? And
I don't think Energizer. Probably not.
All right, Scott. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Okay, we are back. And you know what? Real quick, before I leave, I don't want to get to the 2-minute warning. But before I do that, I want to give you a quick run or around the world in 8 seconds. We've got Germany's up 20% year to date. Their stock market's recovering from last year's drop. Dow up, which of course the Dow was essentially flat for 2011. Year to date up about 8.5. S&P 500's on a bit of a tear, up to about 12.5. Now that's a large cap stock index, so those are very large companies that primarily are based in the United States, may have overseas operations, but they're primarily a U.S. corporation. And those are large companies. They're up about 12.5. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Mid-caps, which is medium-sized companies, these are still very large companies, but not the megacorps like the Exxons and the Apples. They're up 14.5. And small caps are a billion with a B, still a big company by Wall Street, by our standards, but on Wall Street, they're smaller, up 13.5. Let's see. Prime rates at 3.25. 5-year CD annual yield. Bank rate looked at 4,800 banks and 1.39 last week, 1.42 this week. So between 1 to 1.5% for a 5-year CD. You got CD maturing. I sure hope you don't renew at that rate. There are lots of other things to do. All right, let me get to my 2-minute warning, which this is kind of interesting. My wife handed me this. I said, David, you should talk about this on the radio show. So Tony is doing my show prep for me now. She said it was from USA Weekend Edition, and she said, here's an article talking about whether people really need life insurance. And it's a great question, because the answer is, well, it completely depends on your situation. Now, you know, I'm going to be cute, and I sometimes talk about the hammer and the nail. You know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If you have to ask a life insurance person, a person that sells life insurance, well, a lot of them will probably say, yeah, you know, you could have some more insurance. It reminds me of the scene in Groundhog Day where the insurance salesman runs up from high school to Phil Connors, who's played by Bill Murray, runs up to him and starts this conversation about life insurance and says, you could always use a little more, right? Right? And it's kind of a funny part of the movie. I guess you had to watch it. But anyway, but the point is that how much insurance do you need? And here's the world I live in. It really depends on the person's situation. I deal a lot with retirees and, of course, people planning their retirement. I love to get to people sooner rather than later, because if you need to make a course correction, it's a lot easier to make that correction at 50 versus 70. But there's a lot of different situations that people have. But here's how it's funny how we all go through life. Our environment or what we do affects us. I ran to Publix for lunch, okay? And when I ran there for lunch, and I'm waiting to get, I just wanted to get some cold cuts and, you know, kind of make my own sandwich kind of thing, where I just roll it up, meat and cheese. That's a great snack or a lunch for me. But I was standing there, and this woman came over with a shopping cart, and she had 3 kids all around the cart, and there was a baby in the cart. And they were really cute, and they reminded me of my kids. Anyway, they started talking. You know, little kids will talk to anybody, even me. And so the oldest was 8. And I'm like, okay, and I'm doing the math. And I looked, so my natural financial planner instinct was, I looked at the kids, looked at her, and then I looked at her to see if she had a ring. And I'm thinking, here's what's going through my mind. I hope he's got life insurance, because 4 kids, 8 and under, and she's got her hands full. So do you need life insurance? Well, it depends. It depends on where you are in life. Are you the breadwinner of a family like the 4 girls under 8 at Publix? you better have life insurance. I've got life insurance. I've got three kids that are 10 and under. And so I've got life insurance. If something happens to me, then that's in place to take care of my family. Are you in retirement and you don't know whether you need to keep your life insurance or not? Because, you know, there's lots of other things you can spend your money on, right? Yeah, David, I take a cruise. Well, or you might buy long-term care insurance, or you might do whatever. You might spend it on the grandkids. 27% of all toys I read the other day are purchased by grandparents. But here's the deal. If you've got a mortgage or you have obligations, or if you've got a pension that goes away, I can think of a couple client situations where I remember distinctly a couple years ago, I had a client, husband and wife, we did planning together, and I was managing their accounts, and the husband died. And thankfully, there was life insurance that was dedicated that the husband had that was there and was able to be used to pay off the mortgage. Oh, that's what life insurance is for. I think of another situation where the couple didn't really need the life insurance. And so we did some other things and we redirected those dollars that they were spending to buy long-term care. And then take existing cash value in a life insurance policy. If you have a whole life or universal life policy, not term, but the other, and use that money to roll it over. You can take money out of a life insurance and put it into an annuity and create some more income. And one of my success stories I'll always remember is that a gentleman that had a very significant pension, but it stops when he stops. I mean, it's a big pension, but she gets nothing. And so I helped him understand the need for having that life insurance so that if something happens to him, that pension stops, she is not going to be financially crushed. It's still going to hurt, but the life insurance will definitely help. So it just depends on where you are. Some people don't need life insurance anymore. Some people need life insurance for the remainder of their retirement just based on their situation. So think about it. Think about it and how much? Well, that's probably for another day, but they're different. I have a whole section in my book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, talking about life insurance and calculating how much you need. I'll cover that on another show. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Lisa, I'm going to get us back on schedule and we'll come back for some more good stuff. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
That's a load of bull.
That's right. Get her done. Good stuff right there. You know, we do all our own side effects right here. Lisa, you did a great job with that. That sounds really good. All right. Kathy did that for us. It was very good. Okay, the load of bull. You know, it's I could put this in a bunch of different categories. Load of bull, gag me with a spoon, 2-minute warning. But, you know, you all know if you've listened to the show, I used to do financial seminars. Once upon a time when I thought they were good and they worked and then folks got into it and they shouldn't have been in it. And they became kind of a joke for a lot of people. And, you know, over in the middle of the state in the Villages area, it's so bad that people basically go to lunch and dinner every week, 10 square meals a week on financial seminars. I mean, isn't that crazy? But my load of bull or my warning to you is that whenever you get these, and conveniently, mom and dad, thank you, they give me a steady supply of these that folks send to them, financial people, because my parents are in the target demographic for financial seminars. And again, they're not all bad, but what I want to be have you be on alert when you get these, a couple of funny things. Some are funny and some are not so funny. One of them is I can read the seminar invitation and tell you what they're really going to talk about. The ones that really crack me up is say, this is not a sales presentation. Leave your checkbook at home. And then they go right into a sales presentation. And the ones that make me laugh are, it says, agents and brokers not permitted to attend. Well, you having a lot of brokers come to your seminar? Now, I did have that happen to me one time, I think. You know, I this is back years ago, like 7 years ago, and I think there was a broker from one of the brokerage houses that came. Hey, if you're listening, that was pathetic. But anyway, so he was there, and he was hitting on the people that are there to listen to me talk about their finances. Anyway, when you look at these seminars, if you're interested and you're not just going for a free meal, look at who's doing it. And if you can't quickly see who that is, then I think you throw this away. But who are they? And then go on the internet and look up their website. How long they've been doing this? What kind of credentials do they have? They tell you they've been doing it. I've got a couple of them I'm holding here. I'm looking at. One guy says I've been doing it for 28 or 30 years. And this other guy, it's 38 years. Wow, that's a long run. You know what's funny, strikes me, is the ones that seem to always want to put in how long they've been doing it. I've done it for 30. I've done it for 50 years. They have that. And I'll go, where are the credentials? So it's like, well, and experience is very important, no question. But where's the education and experience? I don't know. Kind of strikes me as funny. But when you see these, you got to look at them and say, okay, what are you going to talk about? Here, let me give you an example. Annuity, how to eliminate the tax buildup. Okay, you know what that is? And eliminating the tax buildup on anything that's tax deferred to eliminate the tax buildup. Well, I only know a couple ways. You've got to give it to charity. Maybe you can take some money out and invest in some sort of tax credit, these low-income housing or some other tax credit properties, which are very illiquid. Or you have to take the money out, pay tax on it, and then buy life insurance to replace it for your heirs. But there's no magic formula. These are some of the things that need to be done. What else? What else do I have for you? These things are fun. Oh, here's another funny one. Get market-like returns without market risk. There is no such thing. No such thing. I've often said on the show, there is no 20% money market account. It doesn't exist. You can't have... I used to... Speaking of seminars, when I used to do them, I'd do something funny. I would put on the screen, I would say, the perfect investment, and I would list out all these criteria of the perfect investment. It would be 100% liquid. You would earn 12% return every year. The returns never go down. It's tax-free. You get a monthly income, and when you're done with it, you give it to the heirs, and they can do the same thing. And I would pause, and I would let people kind of look at it on the screen. I'd say, all right, everybody ready? Anybody? How many of you would like that? And some people would raise their hand, and some people get, I'm setting them up, and some people would say, yeah. And then I would have an asterisk up where it said the perfect investment. And then I'd hit my little button for the PowerPoint to pop up the other side of the asterisk. You know, whenever you see an asterisk, you got to connect the dot. You know, it's like the old connect the dot thing when you draw something by going 1, 2, 3, 4, you connect those dots. Well, you got to connect the dot. And I would have pop up on the screen. It would say, no such thing. There is no perfect investment. And I explain to people, you can't have all of that. There's no investment that will give you all of that. There are investments that will give you a monthly income, certain income. Fixed income, reliable income. There are investments that can give you tax-free or tax-deferred growth, or the potential for that, or even tax-free or tax-deferred interest. There are investments that will give you the potential to grow with the market. Potential, potential, potential. There's no guarantees in the stock market that you're going to grow. There are things that will provide death benefits, products that will provide death benefit derivations of life insurance to give the money to your heirs. But there's no one investment. There's no perfect investment. There's no panacea that will cure everything. Everything has its advantages and disadvantages. So for every financial product, that's the reality. Because if I had the perfect investment, people would be lined up from my office all the way out to the interstate and all the way up I-95. It just doesn't exist. So because it doesn't exist, guess what you got to do? You got to do planning. All right, that's all the time for today. Be sure to join us next time. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.